morning, if you would. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4 is where we will turn to this morning for our message. We'll go to chapter 4. I'll read a few verses. And the verses we'll read this morning is going to be, actually, I guess you could say, maybe the main point of our message this morning, even though as we begin in a few moments, we're actually going to begin in chapter 1. Now, we're not going to read all the verses in the book of Ephesians, but as I was asked the other day, Brother Richardson asked if I would be able to preach this morning, and of course, I told him I would, and as I began to try to decide what I think the Lord would have for us this morning, my mind kept going back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Brother Richardson did use part of this chapter or part of the book of Ephesians the other night in a Wednesday night service. And I don't know if that's what kind of triggered some thoughts from there. It's just kind of interesting at times how the Lord will put things in your mind and how the Lord will put things in your life and kind of put a message together. And hopefully this morning, after it's all said and done, maybe we can leave this morning saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord and actually learn and grow. And that ought to be our goal this morning, is to learn something from the Lord. So we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I think this is where I'll begin this morning, and I'll begin down in verse number 17. You're going to find here that in the instructions that we find, it's going to deal with you as a born-again believer and the life that you live from day to day. You as a believer this morning, you are a very important person this morning. You are what we call a child of God. And what a privilege it is and what an honor it is this morning to be called a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, then you're a child of the devil. And either you're saved or you're lost, and that's not the thrust of our message this morning necessarily. But I want to say this morning, it's a great day to be saved this morning. And it's a great day to live and serve God and make our life count for Him. And everybody this morning, you are important to the work of God. And as we look into our message this morning, that's where we'll be centered this morning, is about your life as a believer and how important your life is each and every day that you live. Not just today on Sunday, but your life will be important tomorrow on Monday and every day this next week, Lord willing. If the Lord doesn't come back and we live yet another week that lies ahead of us, every day is an important day that we give to the Lord. So let's begin reading. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 17. Paul is the writer here, and let's look and see what we find. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." So Paul is instructing them here that as a believer, you don't live like everybody else lives. As a born-again believer, as a Gentile believer here, he's telling them, your life, you don't walk in this life like other people walk in this life. Your life is to be a different life. We're not to do as the world does, and we're not to act like the world and to live like the world. Your life is a different life because your life is in Christ. He goes on to say in verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from this life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of their blindness of their heart," he says here. Verse 19, "who being past of feeling hath given themselves over to lasciviousness to work the all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." And may I stop and say this morning that salvation is all through Jesus Christ. And when Christ saves an individual, a change takes place in that person's life. And we're going to learn that here in this passage that we find here. But we find here that the emphasis, of course, is placed on Jesus Christ. We'll move on. The last part of verse 21 stresses here Jesus. Verse 22, some very important verses we find here. "But ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man." So we're told here that you are to take your old man, your old life that you lived before Christ, And you are to put him away, it says here. Verse 22, talking about the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we are to take that old man, that old corrupt life that we once had before Christ, and we are to put that life off, he says here. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So we this morning have a choice that we face each and every day of our life, and that is, am I going to live today in the life of the old man that I once was before Christ, or am I going to put on the new man that we find here in verse number 24? He goes on to say, the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness we find here. So you're going to have the choice, and here's going to be the thrust of our message. Each and every day, you have a choice. The choice will be, are you going to live your life today in the new man that's available to you in Christ, or are you going to live today in the life of the old man that you once were before Christ entered into your life? So let's pray, and we'll get into our message and see what God has for us this morning. Let's do pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning. And Lord, we must admit this morning, first of all, that we are a needy people. Lord, we need you. We need you to work in our life. We need you to change us. We need you to speak to us. And God, we need you to do a work in our hearts and our minds and our life today. And God, I pray that that would be so for all of us this morning. May we take the message that you give. May we take your word that we read this morning. And Lord, may we take it and may we meditate upon it. May we, Lord, allow it to penetrate into our hearts, into our minds. And Lord, may it take even today, and may we leave here. And Lord, may it make a difference in our life as we have this choice each and every day of our life of how we want to live today. And God, we have the opportunity today. And Lord, what a thought it is to know today, Lord, we can live today this life that we have. Lord, we can live it in the new man that's available to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that that would be so today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, take your Bibles. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. And we're going to just skim over a couple of chapters. And we're going to go right back to chapter number 4 here in just a moment. But I want to talk to you a little bit about the book of Ephesians. I love this book, and I think it's a great book for everybody to maybe take to heart, maybe go home, read it back through several times, study it, and there's so many valuable truths that you can find here in the book of Ephesians. It's an easy book to read. It's an easy book to grasp and understand and to help us in our Christian life and our growth for Christ. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the life that we live. You know, life is not easy. Life, in many days, can be very difficult at times. Life is full of trouble. Life is full of obstacles. Life is full of sin. Life is full of misunderstandings. And there's a lot of things about life that we, even ourselves as believers, we don't fully understand even today. Much has been mentioned this morning about one of our school teachers. Her husband passed away, Miss Tabby's husband, been sick for several weeks. Brother Richardson has brought that prayer request before us time and time again for the past several weeks. Very obvious, even Brother Richardson, very burdened about that prayer request and the need there in the life of an individual that just passed away the other day. He was a pastor of a church, a good man, married, had a daughter, a young daughter, and just an outstanding family, very used of God. His wife, of course, a teacher here, very talented, very used of God in our ministry of our Christian school here. And then Brother Timmy, of course, pastoring a church and being used of God in that area. And it's very easy in times like that to go to God and ask God the question of why. I've been there in my life where there's been times in life where nothing seems to be going right and it seems like bad things happening and nothing turning out right and darkness and discouragement and despair and going to God and asking God the question of why do bad things happen to good people? And I want to say this morning, bad things do happen to good people, dear friend. There's a lot of things in life that I do not understand. Why is it that God would choose maybe to heal someone that we would look at and wonder why would he heal that individual but yet not heal this individual? Why would God perform a miracle for that person but not perform a miracle in my life? Why would God answer their prayers and not answer my prayers? And all those confusions that go through our mind and with the emotions that we battle every day in our life, I think we can all say this morning that life isn't always easy. Life's tough. And may I say this morning, it's tough for the believer. I've often said this, and I believe it to be true. As a believer, I must understand not only do I fight the trials of life and the burdens of this world, but I've got an enemy this morning called Satan, and he's after me this morning. And he's going to do everything he possibly can to make life miserable for me, to try to stop me in my Christian life, to make sure that I personally do not live a victorious Christian life. But I want to say this morning, even though we have our troubles, even though we have our sorrows, even though we may face death or have death in our midst and around us with our friends and our families, and even though we have the burdens of life and the heartbreaks of life and the discouragements of life, I want us to realize this morning that may be very true, but I still can live a victorious Christian life. I think about others in our church that have mentioned different prayer requests in their life. And I know of some in our church, maybe a little bit more personal, and maybe their requests that they have and some of the needs that they have in their life. And I know for a fact this morning there are people sitting in our church this morning that are burdened about some things in their life and things in their life that maybe they don't understand. But they're burdened about it, and they're concerned about it, and they're worried about it. And I have no doubt they probably have lost sleep over it, and they've probably shed a lot of tears over some things in their life. But hey, I want to tell you this morning that you can still walk out of here with a smile on your face and realizing that we can still live a victorious Christian life. Some of you have had things happen in your life where there's not a man on this planet that can tell you why it's happened. There's not an answer that can be given to you of why things happen, why things don't happen, and why things do happen, and why is it that it's this, and why is it that it's that, and we can talk, and we discuss our problems and the troubles that we may face in our life, and we may be able to help by giving encouraging words, and we may try to cheer somebody up, and that's all good and well. But I'm just here to tell you this morning that there are just some things that happen in life that we don't have an answer for this morning. I don't understand why some things happen in life. There's been things happen in our life and in my life, and wondering why did that have to happen to us, and why did that have to happen to them, and why is it that we can't be able to get over this problem in life and the struggles that we face. And there have been many times that I've wondered why, but I just have to realize and understand this morning that I'll get the answer, but it may be when I get to heaven before I get the answer. But you know, with all that being said, I can't go out of here this morning and look at life and live a defeated life. If I were to watch the news all the time, you know what? We would be the most discouraged people on planet Earth, because when you watch even the news and even the world news, it's all bad and it's all doom and gloom and it's all sad and it's all dark and it's all doom and gloom and depressing and discouraging. Hey, but I've got to realize, even though that may be true in the day and age that I live in, I can still live a victorious Christian life. And we find here in our book of Ephesians that Paul is writing unto us, and he's going to give encouragement in the book of Ephesians. He's going to give some reminders of who we are in Christ. And he's going to also get to chapter 4 as we get there this morning and remind us that we, as a believer in Christ, we can actually live a new day in the new man in Christ and have a great and victorious day even today. Now, may I remind you this morning as we get into our message, when Paul is writing here in the book of Ephesians, he's in prison. Things don't look too good for the life of Paul. Life is not easy for Paul, and Paul's not on top of a mountain when he writes the book of Ephesians. He's writing this book out of a prison cell, telling others how that you can be happy, you can be victorious, you can be successful in your Christian life, but it's all up to you. You choose what kind of day you want to have. So we go back to chapter 1. Paul starts off in this book as he writes from this prison cell here, and you're going to find here in Ephesians chapter 1 that he's going to deal with a very important subject, and that is the salvation of a believer. You see, this morning, I'm afraid that we kind of overlooked this a little bit. You may lose a lot in life, but there's one thing I can never lose, and that's my salvation. You see, the devil can take an awful lot from me, but he can never get my soul, dear friend. And I can at least go to bed tonight. I may have troubles, and I may have worries, and I may have heartbreaks, and I may have discouragement in life, and that may be very present in my life, but at least I can go to bed tonight knowing that I'm a child of God. And you know what, dear friend? There's not a living soul that can ever take that from me this morning. And Paul talks about salvation this morning. You'll find in Ephesians chapter 1, down in verse number 7. Let me just read just a couple of verses here. Some are well known, some are not. Verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Now, dear friend, when I'm discouraged and I read that, I may not have a lot in life, but dear friend, I read that and I realize, but I've got so much more through the grace and through the blood of Christ, because through that, I have redemption, dear friend, and I have eternal life this morning, and no one can take that from me this morning. You may lose your job, dear friend, but the devil cannot get your soul. You may lose every penny in your checking account, dear friend, but the devil can never get your soul. The devil may attack you physically, and you may lose even some of your physical health, but dear friend, hey, he cannot get my soul, dear friend. My soul is saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and Satan himself couldn't try to get my soul this morning. Boy, it's great to know that I'm a child of God. Oh, dear friend, this morning, I can't imagine not being saved this morning. I can't imagine living life today and not knowing that I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And may I say, dear friend, if you happen to be here this morning and you don't have that security, and if you don't know that you have eternal life this morning, dear friend, I would get it settled today. I would not leave here till I knew that I was a child of God. And Paul reminds us as he writes from a prison cell, the Christian life is a great life because of salvation. And it's great life because of the grace of God and the blood that was shed on Calvary for my soul in verse number 7. Look, if you would, down at verse number 13. "In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Do you realize this morning, as a child of God, you are sealed, dear friend? What does it mean? It means nothing can get to you, dear friend. Nothing can get through that seal that is placed upon your life. And that is all given to you through your salvation in Jesus Christ. You know what that means? It means I can't lose it. I can't misplace it. It can't be stolen or taken or removed from me this morning. The day that I became a child of God at the age of 13, I've been sealed since that day, and the devil cannot get me, dear friend. Now, I didn't say he can't make it hard, but he can't get my soul. Oh, dear friend, he's attacked in many ways, and he's had some victories in my life, and he's defeated me in a lot of areas of my life at times, and he thinks, and he feels like he has the upper hand at times in life. But dear friend, I can steal back away and realize I may have sinned, I may have fallen, I may have made a mistake, I may have let the Lord down in some areas of my life, but I can still praise God that he cannot get my soul. It's interesting. Paul goes to chapter 2. Oh, my, there's so much we could read here. Look at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm glad that I'm not still dead in trespasses and sins. I'm glad this morning that I'm not lost and on my way to hell, and I'm glad that I'm not living in that life of trespass and sins, because Christ paid that debt for me, dear friend. Paul goes on in verse number 2, "Wherein in times past," and I don't know if you write in your Bibles, but you ought to underline that two little words, "times past." You know, I'm glad in my life there was a times past. And I'm glad, dear friend, that I can say there's a times past, because at the age of 13, I trusted Christ, so everything before the age of 13 in my life is a times past. You see, if you don't have a times past, then you don't have a time present. It's called salvation, and he's talking here about our salvation. He's talking about, look at verse number 2. And wherein, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all have had our conversation in times past, it says here, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, whom is rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were, talking about in the past, dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, dear friend. Boy, dear friend, I'm glad that I can say there was a times past, but dear friend, I've got a times present and I've got a times future, dear friend. But I'm glad that there was a time. Yes, I'm not proud about it. I'm not glad about my times past before my salvation, but I'm just glad that I can look at my life and say, man, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I was one of them that lived in sin, and I was one of them that was undone and lost and on my way to hell. But praise God, I'm glad there was a day that came times present when Christ saved my soul. By the way, I like the end of verse 5, by grace ye are saved. Boy, we could just praise God for a while just about the grace of God this morning. Oh, dear friend, we could shout for joy this morning. There's a lot of praise that could be given this morning just about the grace that God's had on our life. I'm glad that God has had grace on my sorry soul, dear friend. I'm glad this morning that I can say that even in my disappointments and in my failures and in my sin and in my disobedience, God still had grace on my soul. It goes on in verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So Paul continues to drive home this point that it may be hard and life may be tough, but dear friend, may we be reminded that we have Christ that lives and dwells inside of us as a believer, and yet we may live in a dark day, and it may be difficult inside of a prison cell as Paul faced that day, but even Paul could rejoice in knowing, but I still have Christ. Wonderful thing to be able to say, I may not have much, but I have Christ and I have everything. You see, this whole life here on this earth is very temporal. It's very fragile. It's very small. It's very short. It has no comparison to the eternity that I will live with Christ. Verse number 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I like that verse. There's not a work, a deed that I can do in my life to save me. It's only by the grace of God. And the reason you can't get saved by works is it talks here about boasting, because if you were saved by your works, what would happen? Everybody get to heaven and they'd be boasting about how they got there. If it were dealt out in money-wise, then there would be somebody that could pay a whole lot more money than I could for salvation. But I'm glad this morning that money doesn't buy salvation. I'm glad this morning that it is by grace. And I'm glad this morning that it's not of my works, not of anything that I can do. It's all of what Christ has already done for me. And by the way, everybody gets saved the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Salvation, hey, when you come to the foot of the cross, it's all level ground, dear friend. There's not a different class, there's not a different group, and there's not this group against that group. Hey, dear friend, as a child of God, we're all one. And it's all through Jesus Christ. And here we have a man in prison writing and giving us some encouragement of how that, yes, times are tough and life is difficult, but reminding us yet here, even yet once again, that we have a great life through Christ. We get to chapter 4. We'll skip over there. I've spent way too much time and hadn't even got to my first point. We get to chapter 4, and Paul, after he reminds us of what we have and where we've come from and what we were and what we now are in Christ, and reminding us that not only were you saved, but you still have Christ. He dwells inside of you. He lives and dwells inside the life of a believer. You get to chapter 4, Paul reminds us, because of all that's taken place in our life, We are obligated to take our life and live our life for Christ. May I remind us this morning that our life is not our own. We are bought with a price. What was the price that was paid for my soul? It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless shed blood of Christ on Calvary. And Christ paid my sin debt. And He was the only one that could pay my sin debt. But we get to chapter 4. Paul now deals with our Christian life. And he's going to deal with the life that we live from day to day. And he's basically trying to convince us here of how important it is as a believer in Christ that I live my life in such a way that it portrays Christ to the world. And may I say, dear friend, that's a difficult task. It's not easy living for Christ. It's not easy trying to do what's right. I mean, if it was easy to do right, then why do we do bad all the time? You tell me why we sin and why we do bad all the time? Because that's an easy road to take. You know, lying's easy. Nobody ever had to teach a child how to lie. It came natural. You know, failure is easy. You know, you don't go down to a bookstore and get a book on how to be a failure. You go to the bookstore and you'll find all the books on how to be a success. Let me tell you why. Failure's easy. It comes natural in life. Being successful is not easy, and it's not natural to us in life. And Paul here is going to deal with the problem that we have as a believer living in a sinful world, but yet trying to live for Christ in such a way that it portrays the gospel of Jesus Christ to an entire world. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. What does that mean? Paul says, I beg you here, he says, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Very important verse here. Very important. We find here some interesting words that Paul uses here. He starts off by describing himself as the prisoner of the Lord. And he says here, he begs you or beseeches you that you walk worthy of the vocation. It's interesting here. May I remind you, it does not say vacation. Are y'all with me? A lot of believers think it says vacation, but it does not. It says vocation. Now, a vocation is basically a job. That dirty little word that most people don't want to hear. A job. In fact, I went back and looked up and so forth. Vocation in Webster's Dictionary says this. Number one, it means one's occupation. Number two, according to Webster's Dictionary here, for whatever it's worth, it means the career one feels that he is called to. Do you realize this morning that it is your job every day as a believer to live for Christ? Now, I said every day, not just on Sundays. It's my job. Because of all that Christ has done for me in chapter 1, chapter 2, and even chapter 3, Paul is telling us, because of all that Christ has done for us, it's our job now, it's our vocation, if you would, to go out and live for Christ in our life. May I remind you, it's not a vacation. Ask Paul how it's going for him. Ask Paul, is the Christian life easy when he's writing to them from a prison cell? Why? For preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the life that he lived. And Paul here is reminding us that this life as we live, it's our job each and every day to serve him. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Basically, verse number 2 and verse number 3 is going to tell you how you're going to do that. How am I going to live for Christ? How am I going to walk day to day? And the word walk, circle that means your lifestyle. He's not talking about how somebody may walk different than somebody else. It's talking about the lifestyle. Paul is saying the lifestyle that you live ought to be a lifestyle that portrays Christ to a lost and dying world, a dark world, a discouraged world, a world full of problems. But yet through all that, you are to live your life in such a way that others see Christ in you. Your vocation. Everybody, if we were to ask somebody, they would ask, you know, where do you work? Where's your job at? As a believer, I ought to respond, my job this morning, where I work, is in a mission field and I work for Christ. Now, if you tell that to the world will say, well, no, you don't understand. I'm talking about, you know, where do you get a paycheck? And I have to remind them, my paycheck comes from God. With me, it may have Tyson up there, but it's not really Tyson, it's God. Are y'all with me this morning? Wherever you work, you work for Grace Baptist Church, and on a check, I'm sure you get a check, and they still paying y'all. Y'all hadn't worked in so long. I don't know. Are we still paying? But anyway, on the top of his check, it may say Grace Baptist Church, and it may be that he declares that he works for Grace Baptist Church, and his income comes from Grace Baptist Church, but it really doesn't come from Grace Baptist Church. It comes from God. You work for Ford and Nissan in Madisonville and so forth. He sells cars and trucks and so forth, and he gets a paycheck, and he gets a paycheck. I'm sure at the top it's going to have Madisonville Ford or whatever it may say on that check. But even he and I and everybody else, it doesn't necessarily come from that company. It comes from God. We've got to realize and understand this morning, my job is not to work necessarily for Ford, Madisonville Ford. My job this morning is not to work for Tyson. My job may not be to work where you work this morning. My job is to work for Christ. That's my vocation. Does that make any sense to you this morning? Now God, I'm going to get off track there. My vocation this morning is to work for God. Why? Because I'm saved. I'm sealed by Christ. I am Christ. He owns me. He bought me with a price. He shed His blood on Calvary for me. He resurrected from the dead, and He conquered death and paid my sin debt, and now I work for Him. That's my vocation this morning. How am I going to do that? Well, he goes into a little detail here in chapter 4, verse number 2. How am I going to do that? With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And as you go down through the book of Ephesians chapter 4, there's a lot of instruction in this book of how to live. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's not easy. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. It's not easy loving people. I've got to move here. I'm already running out of time. Let me go on down through the chapter here. So we need to realize and understand that I've got to walk worthy of my vocation. In verse number 1, you find here he even says to walk worthy. I wonder this morning, are we walking worthy for the cause of Christ? Have we succeeded this past week in living and walking for Christ in our life? But let's move on here real quickly. Let me go down, if we may, through the chapter. Let me skip that one. Let me go on down to verse number 17. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." And Paul even says, hey, you can't live like those Gentiles live. Why? Because that's not your vocation. That's not what you're called to do. That's not the life that you live. You're different than them. Why? Because Christ lives inside of you. And you live in a world that's without Christ. And there's a lot of people in the world that do not have Christ in them. But you can't live like them. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning, that's not an easy task either. It's not easy living different than the world. And we find here this world is a dark world. We talked about the hurts and the pains and the agony of the world that we live in, and the struggles and the lying and cheating and corruption and sin and deceit and all that. We could give a lot of words this morning to describe the world, but we must face it this morning. That's the world we live in. But I'm not to be like them. I'm not to walk like them and act like them and be like them. Why? Because I'm a child of God. God lives inside of me, dear friend. Jesus Christ dwells inside the life of a believer. And because of that, I am to live in this world in such a way that portrays Christ to this world. Paul reminds them yet here again in verse 17 that we are not to live like the world. And may I say, dear friend, this morning, the world is bad enough, but what's worse than that is when Christians start living like the world. That's what's bad. You know, I look at it this way. I expect lost people to do what lost people do. But I can't comprehend how believers can act like lost people. You see, this morning, when I live like lost people, then I'm going back to that old life that I once was. When I was dead in trespasses and sins. When I was on my way to hell before I trusted Christ as my Savior, I was just like a lost person. And what is unbelievable this morning is when God's people start living like lost people. And may I say, dear friend, there's a lot of that taking place today. One of the reasons that we struggle in the church of today is because too many of God's people are trying to please the world and not God. Too many people go to church on a Sunday morning and sit in a pew and walk out and talk and act and live like the devil himself. I met a man just the other day, different religion and as lost as a goose. And my family was with me, to make a long story short, I bought a propane tank from him, and my dad is actually picking it up for me today. He's coming to visit us and so forth. And I was telling my dad, and I said, now, he's going to church in the morning, but when he gets home, he'll be smoking cigarettes and cussing like the devil himself. He said, well, the religion he's in is beyond. He put a dollar in the plate and take care of it. But anyway, but listen, dear friend, I want to deal with us this morning. It is not right for us as a child of God to think and believe we can come to church, please God today, and walk out and live like the devil himself. It's your vocation to live for Christ. That is your job. Paul says it is your job as a believer every day to walk out in that world and you live like Christ. You have no right not to live for Christ. I have no right this morning to live my life this week in such a way that is like the world. Dear friend, I've got to realize, even as Paul says here in verse 17, he tells them, in talking to some Gentiles here, hey, you can't live like those other Gentiles. You can't be like them, and you can't act like them and work like them and steal and cheat and lie like they do. Dear friend, you can't do that. Why? You're a child of God. I believe this morning, if America ever has revival, it's all going to be with God's people, dear friend. That's what revival is about in the first place. It's about reviving what we once had. And as a believer, it's our job, it's my job to live for Christ. And we find here that we are to, what does it mean? It means that my life, you'll find the word walk a lot here with Paul's writing, and that word walk is talking about your lifestyle that you live each and every day. And we are to act, talk, live like a Christ himself. And when we don't, dear friend, then it means that we live our life and act like the world and we talk like the world, and all we're doing when we do that is serving the devil himself. Amazing here. Paul deals with the life of a believer. It's even sad even today. Let's be honest. We live in a sad day, dear friend. I'm talking about God's people. It's a sad day when more people on any given Sunday, you can take a Sunday where it's 72 degrees and it's sunny outside and perfect temperature, no humidity, and what's sad is there'll be more people at Walmart than the house of God. And you can't tell me everybody in Walmart are just lost people and all the saved people in church. I believe there's a whole lot of saved people out there that are not living for Christ. And it makes it difficult to reach a lost and dying world when we can't even get the people of God to walk worthy of their vocation. And Paul goes on and makes some interesting statements here. And this has been my thought now for several weeks. And it's going to be found here in verse number 22. And in verse number 24, I think the key for my Christian life, and I'm going to speak personally about myself right here, and I believe it applies to all of us, but I just believe as I read here in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4, that I have a tremendous opportunity here every day of my life to get up and put the life of Christ on, and I can live a victorious Christian life. They were struggling a little bit in their lifestyles that they were living. The problem they were having was the saved people, you couldn't tell saved people from lost people. And Paul was burdened and concerned here about them, and he's giving them instruction here and telling them, even in verse number 17, that, hey, you can't do that. You can't live like that. You can't live your life like that and be a child of God. And then he gives them instruction here, and I believe some of the greatest instruction that I find for my life here is realizing and grasping a truth here that I have available to me every day the life of a new man. Because Paul says that you have to take that old man that you struggle with, that flesh that you struggle with, and the sin and the old life, if you would, that you struggle with. And he declares it as the old man. And Paul says, man, you got to take that old man and put him off. You've got to get rid of him. And you've got to grab that new man, which is Christ Jesus, as we find here, and you put him on, and you live your life in the new man, not the old man. Hey, listen to me. The problem today is many Christians are living today, maybe even walk in the church, and they walk and they live in the old man, not the new man. They're still living in the old man. They go to church. They sit in the pew. They sing the songs. They listen to a pastor preach a message. They have maybe an invitation. They have a last song. They all leave. And guess what? They go through the entire day still in that old man. It could be very possible this morning. It could be possible with me that maybe I'm living in the old man this morning. But I have to realize and understand that there is a valuable truth here. Christ makes available to me every day the new man, which is Christ Jesus Himself. If I put Him on, I can live a different life today. And I got news for you, dear friend. That new life in Christ is much better than that old man. And I'd like to say this morning that it's easy to put it on and live it, but dear friend, it's not an easy task. But may I also remind you, dear friend, Paul never said it was easy. Ask Paul how easy it is. He put on the new man. Where is he at? He put the new man on in prison. But I can put on that new man as we find here. In too many days, I'm afraid, we wake up and we live our lives and we go through the day in the old man because we never put on the new man. Oh, dear friend, this morning, the new man as we find here, as you read down through here, you're going to find that this new man is Christ Jesus. And by the way, He's the only one that can make a difference in my sorry life. And without Christ, my life is sorry without Christ. And it's undone without Christ. And I have to realize every day that before I start my day, I need to put on that new man, which is Christ Jesus, dear friend. And this new man, it's interesting here in verse number 24, it says, "And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, and is created," and look at this, "in righteousness and truth and holiness." What is the new man? The new man is living in righteousness, it's living in truth, and it's living in holiness. The word holiness we hear very little about anymore. Not many preaching anymore, not much preaching anymore on living a holy life unto Christ. Let's back up a little bit. Look at the old man in verse number 22. How is it described? He talks about the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So what's the old life or the old man? The old man is corrupt, he's deceitful, and he's lustful. That pretty well describes a lot of how we live, does it not? Well, let's be honest, dear friend. We live a many a days in the old man. That's an easy life to live. Why? Because our flesh is lustful and it's sinful and it's corrupt. And it's easy to follow the path of corruption in life. So I've got to make a decision. Which man am I going to put on? Either I can get up today and I can live in that old man, or I can decide that it's high time that I stop, put a brake on here, put a parking brake on, get Christ, that new man, on, and live my life in Christ today. Now, you'll find in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 that there's a lot of advice given. In fact, you'll find that Paul talks a lot about when you live in Christ, how you're going to live and how you're going to act. In fact, the Bible even talks about how you're going to talk in life. Interesting. Too many Christians continue to choose to live in the old, dead life of the old man. Listen, dear friend, when I got saved, I died to the old life. When Christ moves inside of a believer, we die to our sins and we die to our past. And even Paul, you remember how he talked about the past and the past times and how that all that sinful life that we live, it ought to all be in the past, not now. Because it's your vocation, it's your job to live for Christ today. And Paul gives instruction even more. We don't have time for it this morning. But he talks about all these things that you can do to live a new life in Christ if you want it. You as a believer can live a new life every day if you want to.
And I thought the other day how sad it is that we get up so many days and we don't realize that new life in Christ is available today. Today, dear friend, you can have a new life in Christ today as a believer. But then there's that old life, that old man. And we struggle a whole lot with him in verse number 22. And that old life is the old lifestyle and the old ways and no change in life. And when I live verse 22 and I live that old man, when I live that life today, it's like I go back and want to live before I ever got saved. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I don't want to go back to the days before I was saved. I want to live a life today in Christ that is available to me. If I want to live today in Christ, I can put on this new man, which is Christ Jesus this morning, and I can go out into this life, and it may be dark, and I may have to go to a viewing today, and there may be a funeral tomorrow, and there may be sickness tomorrow, and disease tomorrow, and bankruptcy tomorrow, and depression, and discouragement, and lies, and cheats, and all that may be present tomorrow, but I don't have to be a part of it because I have a new man. A new man. In Christ. But I choose. And I wished I could tell you this morning that I always choose Christ, but I'll be honest, I would lie to you this morning if I told you that I always choose the new man. There's many a day that I've chosen the old man. But I found it to be true. When I choose the old man, all it does is make my problems even greater. It complicates things. It increases the problems and the discouragement and the depression and on and on and on and whatever word you want to use this morning. When you choose to live the old man, as you find in verse 22, it's going to be a life full of corruption, deceitfulness, and lust. And that's what we choose when we choose the old man. But oh, dear friend, this morning, because of what Christ has done in our life and because of the salvation that He brought to our life and because of the grace and the mercy that God has granted unto us and because we have His Son, Jesus Christ, that dwells inside the believer, the Holy Spirit of God that guides and leads us in life, we must understand this morning that we don't have to be depressed and we don't have to be discouraged because Christ lives in us and we can put on that new man and live a victorious Christian life in a dark, dark world. But it's your choice. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning as the Brother Yandel and Brother Bradley come this morning. I want to invite you this morning that maybe this is the morning that we ought to make a step to the altar and start a new life today in Christ. Not that we necessarily need to be saved, even though if you're here this morning and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a saved believer this morning, I invite you to come and we can take the Bible and show you the Bible way and how that Christ can save you. And it can start a new life and a new man in you today. But maybe you're here this morning, maybe you are saved this morning. But your struggles are because you've been choosing the old man and not the new man. And we've been living way far too many days with the old man. And we've allowed the devil to have victories in our life when we could have chosen the new man. And maybe this morning, maybe this is the day we need to make that step and come say, God, I choose you today. I want to put on that new man and I want to learn how to be more like you. And I want to walk worthy today of your vocation to live for you, to work for you, to serve you. Maybe this morning you need to come. I invite you to come. Just you come and kneel maybe here at the altar, just you and God if that's what needs be. You come. As Brother Bradley leads us this morning and takes over, may you do God's will for your life.